Welcome back to another episode of Words of the Wise. I'm your host, Lexi Maynor, and today's conversation is with someone who has lived his entire life rooted in faith, family, and farmland. At 84 years old, Max Newland has spent his whole life in Plainfield, Indiana, farming the same land he grew up on, loving the same woman he first kissed on the playground in first grade, and building a legacy of service to the Lord. His story is one of resilience, of love that spanned more than six decades, of heartbreaking loss, and of a faith that carried him through it all. From catching his wife Beverly as a child in true check yes or no fashion, to raising three children, to walking through the grief of losing his son Brad at just 23 years old, Max's life is a powerful reminder that joy and sorrow are both threads in the same story. His advice is simple and profound. Serve others, love your spouse with a yes ma'am spirit, and put your hope in the Lord. This episode is a testimony to a man whose faith and quiet strength shaped not just his family, but countless others in his community.
My name is Max Newland. I'm 84 years old. And I was born and raised about 300 yards from here.
Really?
Yeah.
So Plainfield resident your whole life?
My whole life.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And let's go back a little bit to talk about the people who came before you. So what were your parents like?
Well, my mother was a school teacher. And I can tell you she insisted she was a music teacher as well as an elementary teacher. And she was very interested in having me learn to read music, to sing, to play a musical instrument. And I thought, you know, that's neat. I had fun doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, I found out years later that the reason she did it was that she was a Quaker and was, if I got drafted, if I had those skills, she thought maybe I would be in a band or something like that. She didn't, she didn't want me going to war.
But, oh, yeah.
So she was, that was her ulterior motive.
Her way of making sure that you wouldn't have to.
But I never got drafted anyway, so.
Yeah, didn't matter.
So, didn't matter.
So what type of music then?
Well, I played three musical instruments. I played, started out playing a trombone and switched to a baritone. And then I ended up playing a sousaphone, a big wraparound job.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally went back to playing the trombone again when I was in high school.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
Yeah.
And then how about your dad? What was he like?
My dad was a farmer, drove a school bus, worked for Hampton Gentry Mortuary.
Okay.
Helped with the services. Took me a timer. That's when they he drove an ambulance for them. They had ran the ambulance service too.
Mm-hmm.
Back in those days, that mortuary did. Took me to a wreck or two when I was 15, getting ready to get my driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't, you know, I learned a lot that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he was a busy man. Well,
busy man. I worked on the farm. My wages for the summer was really, he set aside 5 acres for me to farm.
Mm-hmm.
And what I could make off that 5 acres was my wages.
Oh.
So I kind of got aggravated at him because all the rest of my buddies had a allowance and didn't do anything. And after I was out working on.
Yeah, you had to earn it.
Yeah. So, and some days I didn't make much money. But that was another good experience. He taught me to be self-reliant.
Mm-hmm. That's really important when you're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many siblings did you have?
I had a brother and two sisters.
Okay. And where did you fall in that order?
I was the second brother.
Okay.
And I had a younger sister and an older sister.
Oh, so you're the only boy?
No. Well,
no,
I had
you
a
had
brother.
A brother. Yeah. Oh, so there were four of you.
Yeah, four.
Okay.
Of us.
Okay. Nice.
So
you were close with your siblings?
Yeah, I really was. All three of them went to college. And when I got out of high school, I didn't want to go to school. I'd had enough school.
You were over it.
Yeah. So I went to work, got married. Married my wife when I was 18.
Okay.
So she just passed away a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we'll get into your wife here soon. I did want to ask, what was the typical day like in your childhood when you were growing up?
Of course, school. Dad drove a school bus, and I rode his school bus. My grandfather drove a school bus also. So, and my mother taught school. So no matter what I did, I was in trouble. One way or the other.
Yeah.
And they knew about it before I got home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had eyes on you at all times.
All time. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a good life. My folks were very interested in seeing that I was a church goer.
Mm-hmm.
So I told people that, well, when I was 13 or 14 years old, I had a drug problem. I told them that my father drugged me to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday morning.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I was like, oh my, this is really getting interesting. No, yeah. That's funny. That's good though. What hobbies did you have as a kid?
Played sports. Loved football. Played mm-hmm. 4 years of football.
What position?
I was an offensive guard.
Okay.
And played linebacker some, not as a starting linebacker, but always a starting guard on offense.
Mm-hmm.
As far as basketball, I liked basketball.
Yeah.
And I played my freshman year. And then my sophomore year, I decided I'd be a team manager.
Nice.
And I did that, and I enjoyed doing that. But I spent a lot of time, you know, shooting baskets after practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach told me the next year he wanted me to come out for the team. So my junior year, I played varsity basketball, or dressed varsity basketball.
Yeah.
Played some, but not much. Football was really my...
What you loved the most.
Yeah. I was not built like a basketball player at all.
You were good, though.
But, well...
Clearly.
I could hit the basket. That's
all that matters. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you look like, you can hit the basket. That's right. Did you go to Plainfield High School?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how has Plainfield changed over the years?
Oh, when I was in high school, I probably knew everyone in high school. There was probably maybe 8,000 or 9,000 people in Plainfield at that time.
Wow.
And I don't know, it's what, 26,000, 27,000 now?
Yeah.
So I have, I know very few people now mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. So. That's cool, living in the same place your whole life, really seeing the development and stuff. Yeah. Do you have a favorite childhood memory? One that stands out?
Well, I don't really think I do. Seems like I got in trouble one time in school. And they threatened to expel me for 3 days. My dad gave me a pitchfork and he says, I don't want to see you without you being having that pitchfork in your hand. So we had a dairy farm also, and
okay,
a lot of cow manure to spread, and mm-hmm. that was what I did for 3 days.
Oh my, you learned the hard way.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So yeah, I guess so you had a dairy farm, and then what else did you farm?
Well, we always had horses.
Okay.
In fact, there's been horses on this farm for over 100 years.
Okay.
Up until this last fall, when my wife became ill and I had to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to die here at home, so I could take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do both.
Yeah.
So gave the horses away and took care of her. We got to keep her here all through her illness.
Mm-hmm. So horses, cattle, sheep.
Yeah, I raised cattle too.
Okay. So all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a general farm.
Yeah. This is kind of the last childhood, high school age question. What would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
I think probably to be self-reliant, make my own way.
Mm-hmm.
I always said that they didn't ever give me anything, but they gave me everything, really.
I love that. So, yeah, that's great. And so after high school, you didn't want to go to college, like
nope,
you said.
Nope.
So what was your next step then? Did you just start farming immediately?
Well, yeah, with him, but I went to work at my first job, I guess, was a wholesale bread route for Colonial Baking Company. I did that for 6 years.
Okay.
And then I had a chance to move and go to Allison's, which was a lot more secure job.
Mm-hmm.
Did that and spent 28 and a half years at Allison's. Retired when I was 52 years old.
Okay.
And came back and farmed a little more. I used to farm a lot of nights and weekends and mm-hmm. holidays. So I'm sure my family got tired of me doing that, but huh. it was necessary, and I enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, let's talk a little bit about life on the farm. Why do you enjoy farming?
I like to see things grow. I miss growing things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I had three children, when they were small, we had a pretty good sized garden, and they were kept busy in the garden. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that probably is rewarding, seeing yeah. it, seeing things grow.
Well, then when I was probably 52 years at Allison, no, not 52 years, anyway, I had some heart problems.
Okay.
And the doctor told me I had to stay out of the dirt and the chemicals and the dust and everything. So I had to quit farming. So I gave up the ground that I had rented, gave up my ground to a guy to farm it for me.
Uh-huh.
And I found out that I came out money-wise just the same, and I had no other responsibility. So that was a relief.
Turned out good then.
Yeah, it has turned out good.
Yeah, yeah. What would people not know about being a farmer?
Well, have you ever seen the shark program on TV?
Shark Week?
Shark Farmer?
No, I haven't.
It's on RFD. It's a country station.
Oh, yeah.
And he interviews people and shows them pictures of different farm implements and
uh-huh.
things like that. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised at people that don't know what a combine is or a corn planter. Or,
mm-hmm.
And that always surprised me because I was born with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My old job, it was a marketing agency, but one of our clients was National FFA.
Okay.
And so we did this live show during convention week, but all of centered around, people don't, I feel like, realize how important the job of the farmer is.
Yeah.
You are feeding.
We wouldn't eat without it.
Yeah, exactly.
We wouldn't eat without it.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, too.
That's true. I was in FFA.
You were?
Yes, in 10 years in 4-H.
Oh, nice. What did you show in 4-H?
Sheep, mainly.
Nice.
Showed cattle, some too. Dairy cattle.
That probably taught you a lot, too.
Yeah. And there's a fellow in the community by the name of Ed Brown who showed sheep all over Wisconsin and Ohio and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and showed sheep for him part of the time. We traveled. Always had a good time doing that.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Where did you travel? Across the state?
Yeah, to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yeah. Illinois, Ohio, Kentucky.
Midwest?
Yeah, all through the Midwest.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you said that you married your wife when you were 18.
Yes.
How did you two meet?
We went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another story. The boys always used to chase the girls at recess.
Yeah.
And I caught her and gave her a kiss on the cheek. And she went home and told her mother. And her mother wrote a note back to school. She said she wasn't going back to that school because there was a redheaded boy there that gave her a kiss. She wrote a note back to school, and I had to apologize for the whole class.
Oh.
That was in the first grade.
First grade?
First grade.
Oh, my gosh.
And We didn't date then until I was a junior in high school.
Oh, okay. So, but it all started back started in first again. Grade?
Yeah, it started in the first grade.
Yeah.
I think of it now, I don't think she was running as fast as she could.
She wanted you to kiss her on the cheek. She wanted that redheaded.
I always accused her of that anyway.
Oh, that's funny. What was your wife like? How would you describe her?
Well, she was very kind, loyal, dedicated, hardworking. She raised the kids,
mm-hmm.
and I had very little to do with the upbringing, and
mm-hmm.
I was always working.
Yeah.
But I was always thankful that I could had a good enough job that I could afford to have her just be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a good mother.
Yeah. And how did you know she was the one?
I think I decided probably when I was in the first grade.
Yeah.
I just don't know. So.
Yeah.
She, had she lived another month and a half, we would have been married 64 years.
Wow.
So.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
How did you ask her to marry you?
You know, I don't really remember. I don't remember asking her. When we graduated from school, they used to have what they called class night here, where they had awards, different thing, music awards and mm-hmm. things like that. And I gave her a first promise ring at class night when we were seniors.
Oh.
So.
That was kind of.
That was the beginning of a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was your wedding like?
Well, it was cold. It was November 28th, and was held at the Methodist. She went to the Methodist church,
mm-hmm.
and I rescued her from that. And she played the organ at the Quaker church for over 50 years.
Okay.
And we had a disagreement with some of their philosophy, and so we changed churches and went to a community church here in the
okay.
just right up the road.
Yeah.
So she played the organ once or twice up there just to fill in for vacations and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she didn't really, she'd had enough of that. She felt like she was on display all the time when she was up in front and playing the organ.
Mm.
So she was to the age where she was ready not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I always loved to hear her play.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
Yeah.
So you both were musically.
Yes.
And yeah.
Both in band.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, 64 years is a long time.
It is.
Would you say is the key to having a long marriage like that?
Well, two words. Yes, ma'am. And we'll think about that. You know?
That's, yeah, that's funny.
We grew up together, that's what it amounted to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is something so cool, too, when people do marry so young and you're able to grow together, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So, your wife, she passed about a year ago?
Two years ago. September 9th,
Mm-hmm. Would you mind talking about how that happened? Like why? What she had?
She had Parkinson's.
Okay.
Which ran in her family. Her mm-hmm. father died of Parkinson's. She, like I say, wanted to die right here. We used to sit out on the back porch, watch the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet that's beautiful out there. I'm looking out. It's a pretty view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of wild animals, a lot of deer.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so did you two live in this house your whole marriage, or when did you move here?
No, we rented a house for about the first 6 or 7 years in Plainfield.
Okay.
And I wanted to get back out to the country. This was part of the farm where I was born,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. She was not really in favor of moving out to the country at first. She said, "You're going to get me out there on that hill, and I'll never see any of my friends again." But after she was out here a year or so, I don't think you could have drug her off the hill.
Yeah, she probably loved.
Yeah.
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 That's funny. I love that. So you said you have three kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Had a daughter first born. Both my daughters were the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
They were 13 months apart.
Okay.
And then my son was born.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was Mark's best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how old were you when your first daughter was born?
Probably 19, maybe.
Okay. So you had,
yeah,
had kids had right away, pretty
yeah,
much.
Right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get them up and gone. Get jobs and take care of mom and dad, you know?
Yeah, you want, yeah. That's funny. No, but what lesson did you stress the most to your kids when they were growing up?
I was interested that they were church members, and
mm-hmm.
They did all right. They were adequate. Our son was diagnosed with terminal cancer when he was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost him when he was 23.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm so sorry.
He was a senior at Taylor University, was mm-hmm. studying to be a minister. He was going to work a year for their admissions program
mm-hmm.
and then go to seminary. Well, in order to, I with him working summers and with my General Motors stock,
mm-hmm.
we educated all three of the kids.
Yeah.
And when he was a senior, he was going to be about $5,000 short. So his roommate's dad was very well-to-do and very generous.
Mm-hmm.
Loaned him $5,000 so he could finish his loan.
Oh, wow.
Well, when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he says, "I can't pay that loan back." I said, "Don't worry about that. I'll pay it back."
Mm-hmm.
So I met with Mr. Horn, told him that I would pay him the $5,000. It may take me mm-hmm. 6 months or so. He says, "You're not going to pay me back." He says, "Let's take that you take $5,000 and establish a scholarship. That's the word I was losing.
Sorry.
So he gave Brad the money, and I put $5,000 in it, and Mr. Horn matched it with $5,000. So it started out with $10,000 in the scholarship, and it has now grown to where they award nothing but the interest on that endowment.
Oh, wow.
To a student that's going to be a minister or working
in that field?
Yeah.
In that
church? That has turned out that Taylor manages that thing. All we did was set up the perimeters of what the qualifications should be.
And yeah.
Well, not based so much on scholarship, because Brad would never have been able to win at something like that. So, because,
more about character.
Yeah. So it's really grown to where it amounts to about, I think, $2,400 a year.
Wow. That's awesome.
Awarded to it.
And so that was all being established when he was diagnosed, or was it after?
That was after he passed away.
Afterwards, yeah. Okay.
But he knew we were going to do that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he was all for it. And
wow. So. What a way to use the
yeah.
that unfortunate situation for
yeah.
for good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
really grown. Done
yeah.
well.
How did you and your family manage that loss, or like, what got you through, I guess?
Well, I think my main thing is I knew where he was.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the Lord and knew the Lord very well, better than I ever will. And I felt good about that.
Mm-hmm.
Felt good about it.
Yeah, yeah, that gives you some peace.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I'm so sorry though. That's.
Yes.
Do you have any advice or words of encouragement for someone who would be experiencing just loss in general? I mean,
well, of course, there again, it's all based on what your beliefs are. I believe that he's definitely in heaven, and I'll see him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned Mark.
Yes.
He was your son's best friend.
Yes.
He's sitting right over there.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about the friendship that the two of them had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were, of course, went to different schools, but they remained friends and in contact with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when Mark started a family, Morgan, who Brad had a little 50cc motorbike,
mm-hmm.
and Morgan ran it over here one day, right over the hillside one day.
Really?
Yeah. And didn't get hurt, got scratched up a little bit.
Oh, I bet, yeah. So that's so cool. Like, I know that Mark kind of said that you're in a way like an adopted grandfather to Morgan and Jonathan.
Yeah. Yeah. When John was born, Mark was working in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And Lori was ordered on bed rest.
Mm-hmm.
So she spent, probably 2 or 3 months right on my Davenport.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
That's so cool that you've been able to stay close and have such an impact on your son's best friend's kids. That's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, they always called us Grandma and Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's special.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite part about watching them grow up?
Watching them play football, I think. But I got more enjoyment out of that than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you go to Plainfield?
Mark
okay,
did.
Okay, nice.
I mean, Mark did, and so did John.
The boy.
Yeah, Morgan.
So you probably went to all the games then?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. That's fun. That's so fun. What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent, grandparent?
Well, probably just see the kids grow up, see how they advance. You know, criticize them when we feel they made a mistake, but yet very proud of what they do achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any advice on parenthood?
Parenthood? Not really. Not really. Just keep them busy, I think, is the main thing.
Keep them busy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know what kind of friends they have,
mm-hmm.
where they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
But I know how it is growing up. There used to be a tradition in Plainfield. There was a fellow who lived right next to the grade school that if you were playing baseball or something, you hit a ball over in his yard, he'd run out of the house and get it, and he didn't give it back.
Really?
Yeah. And I won't tell you his name because he may have still relatives there. But anyway, one Halloween, the thing to do was to throw apples at his house and that sort of thing. And we used to hide behind the hedge at the school throw oranges and apples at his house.
Oh, wow.
And he called the police on us, and they took out afters. And I got out here in the country and turned the lights off, and I knew all the gravel roads and
where
I was going. They couldn't catch me. But the next day, I told my dad, I said, I think I'll ride the school bus into town. I don't have any baseball practice or football practice to go to after school. Well, Dad said, okay. So, come lunchtime, he was retired. He got in my car, drove into town, for lunch. And, of course, the police pulled him over.
Oh, no.
They got me out of school. That was another day I got expelled for 3 days.
So you were kind of a troublemaker.
I was. And we really, you know, we weren't hurting anything. We were, well,
yeah, good, clean fun.
Aggravating him. He was, that was something that my brother did. I don't know whether my older sisters went along on those trips or not. Everybody aggravated him.
Oh, yeah.
And he called the police on us, and they got after us. So.
Yeah.
But they couldn't catch us.
How did the story end, then, with your dad getting pulled over?
They came out, got me out of government class, the football coach was also the government teacher.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I knew I was in trouble.
Yeah.
But another day spent doing hard work.
Yeah. Do you have any funny stories from when your kids were little?
I have a story about Brad after he was diagnosed with cancer. I had beef cattle at the time,
mm-hmm.
and we were weaning the calves, taking them away from their mothers after they get up to 400 pounds or so.
Yeah.
So they're on their own. But this one calf decided that he was going to go back with his mother because I put them out in the back part of the farm and
mm-hmm.
put these feeder cattle in a lot by themselves.
Yeah.
And this one calf decided that he wasn't going to be separated from his mother, and he started running towards him. Well, Brad ran over to stop him, and that calf tried to jump over him, hit him right here in the chest, and knocked the wind out of him.
Oh, my gosh.
He couldn't even breathe for a while.
I bet.
And I ran over to him and asked him where he hurt, and he said, well, he was all right. He said, I want you to do one thing. I said, well, what's that, friend? He said, let me choose the one we're going to butcher.
So, that's funny.
Yeah.
So you butchered that one.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That's funny. That's scary, kind of.
It was, because there he was, you know what, taking chemical administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then how many grandkids do you have?
I have 2 grandsons.
Okay.
They've both done very well. The youngest grandson is a doctor, a physical therapist doctor. Mm-hmm. Wants to get into sports medicine eventually, but now he works up here at Stafford Point.
Awesome.
As a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And the oldest boy is in Phoenix, Arizona. He's the chief financial officer for
P.F. Chang's.
Oh, wow.
P.F. Chang's.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done very well. Both the boys have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what's your favorite part about being a grandpa?
Well, I get along with Steve, the youngest, better because he's closer and I know him.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to fish and hunt. And both of them, when they were young, before they started school, spent time with Beverly. Beverly raised those kids up until they got school age.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that was a good experience. Good because we'd lost Brad and mm-hmm. they really helped us out.
Yeah, yeah. It is crazy how much young kids can bring so much joy in times of sadness. Yeah.
Yep.
And change. And yeah, that's awesome.
They were good for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they grew up right around here then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lived in Danville.
In Danville, okay.
Yeah. She used to drop them off here and then go on to work. She was working in town at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Beverly practically raised those boys up until they were 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, that's so special to have that time with your wife and you, and yeah, that's cool. So as you look back on your life, who would you say had the biggest impact on you, and why?
Probably my dad. He was a good father. He was strict, which, you know, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, after I had children of my own, I still appreciated Grandpa.
Yeah. It's usually how it goes at the time. You don't get that the discipline is because they love you.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite time period of your life?
I had a good time in high school. As you could tell, I probably wasn't college material.
I don't know. You're pretty wise. You could have done it.
Well, I could have, I'm sure, but I just didn't have any interest in it.
Yeah. High school.
Well, you know, my folks struggled to put my older sister and my brother in school.
Mm-hmm.
I could have probably gone to Earlham and played football, but that didn't. They were losers. So I didn't appeal to them.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get a job, start a family, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time.
That's great.
Good time.
Do you have any regrets?
Well, yeah, I had not any regrets, but I had an opportunity to go to work for the same mortuary that my dad worked at.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hampton had a son who was a year older than I was, and he didn't want any part of the mortuary business. The son didn't. So Mark came to me, the owner of the place, and said, "Max, I'll pay for your schooling and go to embalming school and everything, and then come back and work for me,
mm-hmm.
and maybe take over this business when I'm ready to retire." And I didn't do it. I often think I should have gone that way.
Really?
It was an opportunity I missed.
Yeah. But why did you turn it down at the time?
I was a happy-go-lucky kid, and I didn't really, people mourning and hurting bad didn't appeal to me at that time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everything does work out how it's supposed to, though.
Yeah,
so.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. What advice do you have for the younger generations?
Well, get an education, first and foremost. May not help you in your chosen field of work, but it'll open doors for you. That
mm-hmm.
education does.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you didn't take your own advice?
No.
Again, all worked out, though.
Yep.
Do you have a certain philosophy that you try to live your life by?
No, just love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Try to serve Him. One thing that I've done since Beverly died, the church secretary and I trade Wednesdays fixing meals for shut-ins.
Oh, wow.
And she cooks one Wednesday and I cook the next Wednesday. I think right now we've got about 4 shut-ins that we provide food for.
That's amazing.
That's been good. It's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One lady's in a nursing facility in Brownsburg. She's 101 years old. Quite a character. For her 101st birthday, she wanted to go on a hot air balloon.
Oh, wow.
Did
she go?
They had it all set up, but it was too windy. She didn't get to go, so she's still waiting on that.
Oh, wow.
So she's very active for 101 years old.
I'm thinking I need to interview her.
Yeah.
Me too.
She can tell you some tales.
Yeah. That's awesome, though. Serving in that way is it's cool. And so you've done that for two years?
2 years.
Two years. Cool.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about your testimony? So you said that you grew up and you were a Quaker,
yes.
right? And then you and your wife went to a community church.
Yes.
So tell me how your faith has impacted your life.
Well, I don't know what you know about Quakers, but they're pacifist, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not agree with that side of their philosophy. And that just kind of turned better. Both and I, we were ready to change churches.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in the meantime, had served on the chaplaincy advisory board for Henrich Regional Hospital.
Okay.
And main job was just raising funds to pay for the chaplain. And, you know, that's got to be harder and harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they put him on their salary. So that eliminated a big responsibility for my job. But we still kept in touch with different parts of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it was enjoyable. And one reason why we chose the church that we belong to now was that they were active in that chaplaincy advisory also.
Uh-huh.
I knew a lot of the people on the board. Some of them went to that church,
mm-hmm.
which that's what directed us that way.
Yeah, good church community.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So your faith, how has it impacted your life?
Well, like I say, I drug myself to church on Wednesdays. So, and Sundays. So I love the congregation over there at the community church.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are farmers. It's, I feel comfortable there.
Yeah.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah. Feels like home.
So, yeah.
Yep. What's the most important thing in life?
Well, I don't know. It's important to remember to keep breathing.
Yeah, that is important.
Yeah. So, I think maybe just try to be a servant to the Lord, to your fellow man. Probably the most enjoyable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes hard to do. You know, the Bible tells us to love everybody. And some people are easier to love than others.
Yeah, so, that's true.
But I think it's important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what do you hope to be remembered by?
Just being a good Christian fellow, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, like helping people, doing things for others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll definitely be remembered in that way someday. Fairly left a big impact on these people over here.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to include something really special. The Newlands and the Hagees have both called Plainfield home since the 1800s, and their families have been intertwined for generations. Mark Hagee was best friends with Max's son, Brad, and over the years, Max has sort of adopted Mark's boys as his own grandkids. They really are a second family to him. So what you'll hear next is a little story-sharing session with the Hagee family, honoring Max in the many ways their lives have been woven together.
So yeah, I think one of my favorite stories about Bev is on one Christmas Eve, we'd been to the Christmas Eve service, and we came back to the house, and it had been snowing, and we were following the cars, you know, the cars were going up the driveway, and came to a stop, because I think there was someone trying to turn around to come down, and so we're all getting out of our cars, and we're talking as we're on this slope, and Bev's car slid down the hill.
Oh my gosh.
My car.
Oh, into your car?
Into my car. And it was just, she was so apologetic, but we were all just laughing.
Yeah.
It was just so unexpected.
Yeah, that's something you planned for. Oh, that's funny.
I just remember all the times that he took John and I on his four-wheeler, put us on the front, put us in front, and he'd take us up down the road here up to the farm and see the horses and the cats and stuff. I remember that. I mean, it's not really a question or anything. That's just kind of
a memory that you have.
Memory.
Yeah.
taken us, like, you know, you talk about his, you know, his servant heart. I mean, he would take John and I with him around town, take food from his garden, and, you know, he would give it to some of, like the retirement communities here, and take us with him to go do that. I think one of those times I remember John kept wanting to, we were real little, but John kept wanting to sit in the trunk, or in the bed of his truck.
The truck bed.
And then, yeah, the bed of his truck. And John just would not be quiet about it. And, like, he finally just told, like, I remember, I mean, you know, he's obviously a very kind and gentle, soft-spoken man. I just remember him just getting on John so mad about that. Yeah, it was deserved.
He turns it on when he needs
to. He needed that. I was a little easier than Thomas, but
That's funny.
I remember telling him, really after the boys were born, maybe. But when I was about 12, I started taking my mom's car around, driving, and I remember I didn't ever tell, they never knew this, but I'd come out and pick up Brad.
Yeah.
And I was 12 years old, driving my mom's car. And we'd drive a car around town.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't ever tell him until after the boys were born. I said, did you know that we used to do this? You know? I remember thinking it was so cool to come out here and see the farm. And just think it was just the best place in the world, because I grew up in town, and it's interesting because, you know, our families have both been in Plainfield since the 1800s.
Oh wow!
And I have a little booklet. I should have brought that. That's called the South Side Blue Bloods, and it was basically the South Side people lived on the South Side of US 40.
Uh huh.
And it talks about the new ones moving out to the farm.
Oh, wow.
So I should have brought that out.
That's right. You can send a picture of it or something.
And it talks about the Haggies being short and round.
Short and fat.
Short and fat. Yeah. But it's a poem. It's basically about, like, the different, like, first, you know, the first families of Plainfield.
Wow.
And but I just remember coming out here and I just, you know, this.
Yeah.
Something that reminds me of Max is, and I still have it. It's funny. But he had a horse that I think was Brad's. It was a rubber tire horse they had hanging down with the grandkids. It was Stevie and Anthony's that you'd have. It was made out of tire, and they had it in the basement. And
passed,
I remember
passed it to the ceiling.
Yeah,
you did.
Chains, yeah.
So he gave it to us for the boys, and after we took it down, I remember he gave us a red S hook.
Uh huh.
And that S hook was not probably like that, but it reminded me of Max because red hair, and it was red.
Yeah.
And it was as strong and sturdy as anything I've ever. I mean, I still have it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
That's something that I won't ever get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of a hobby horse hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it would swing and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when did you make that?
No. No, we bought that at the craft fair somewhere.
Okay.
And we had it there for the kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's very sweet of you to gift that to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we got a lot of gifts from him. I remember Grandma Newman would read to the boys. You remember that?
Yeah.
They'd sit on her lap and she'd read book after book after book. remember coming over here at Christmas Eve, and we would read the Christmas story, basically. Mm-hmm. The, you know.
The Christmas Eve service.
Yeah, we go to the Christmas Eve service at church.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma would play the organ.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the best times were alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can remember Beverly, when it got time for the boys to take a nap, she would always read to them.
Uh-huh.
Well, she'd fall asleep and they'd be
wide awake. Really?
They'd be wide awake, you know. They'd have to wake her up and finish the book.
That's funny. She put herself to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so special, though. It's awesome. I love it. Any?
I just remember since I was a little kid, I was so, you know, hearing stories about my dad's, you know, friendship with Brad and thinking about how amazing, first of all, Brad was, how incredible it was to be able to have the patience to be, you know, such good friends with my dad. But, like, just to hear just, you know, about him and his faith and his story, and then obviously the hardship of cancer and losing their son at such a young age, and I was, as a kid, I was just always so intrigued by like their strength and that, and obviously I never saw any of that, but to see how strong in their faith they were and
yeah.
how they just trusted in the Lord, and it's like that, going through a trial like that and seeing beings of how, how tough of a time that can be,
yeah.
their faith was just strengthened. And as I said, it was so encouraging to me. And when I came to faith myself, towards the beginning of college, it made more sense. And then as I've, over the last few years, I've got to experience loss for grandma and another family friend. I can see just how practically what that is. And
mm-hmm.
to see that example, first of all, with him and grandma
yeah.
was just really foundational to me, and to your faith is strengthened through trials and
mm-hmm.
affliction, and that doesn't change who God is. So that's something that always just stuck out to me ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah. And having that example,
yeah.
Standing firm.
Morgan's much more like Brad than any, if anything, if I could say, well, who's Morgan like? I would say, well, he's like his mom as far as more patient, but in his faith and man that he is today, it's very much what I think Brad would have been, say, at the same age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, extremely similar people.
Yeah. Would you say that too?
Yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm.
I know. When Beverly had passed away, and we had their call in at the church, so many people came up and said, "I was so sorry for my loss." Well, I said, "She's not lost. I know exactly where she's at."
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So
it's comfort. She was a wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
She'd have to be put up with me for 64 years.
Same can be said about Lori. So let me tell you. But there was always something special about coming over here. I'd sit on that couch right there and about fall asleep every time I came.
So peaceful.
What's that?
Sat right here and we told him we were getting married.
Yep. Well, she and I sat right there and told him we were getting married.
Oh.
The boys bring out girlfriend. If you had a serious girlfriend, you'd be bring her out.
Yeah.
That was. It must not approve of any of them. So. And of course.
Tough critics.
Yeah. Girls didn't approve of John, so our younger one.
Oh, man.
Bless his heart. No, he's okay.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
But, I think that probably the biggest thing for us is how they opened their home to us, and you know, their daughters were so willing to share, you know, time, allowing us to be a part of things, and you know, and Morgan and John, and to be a part of things, and how kind they were, and how welcoming, and you know, just things, you know, example of Christ. They've been to us. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. There is like something special to having friends that do turn into family. Like that just shows the kind of person that you and people that you and your wife were.
Yeah.
To be that loving and take people in that way.
Both of my parents passed away. Well, my dad died in 1971. He was 71 at that time. My dad would be 125 for a while.
Oh, wow.
So, that's another story. But my mom passed away 30-some years and 31 years ago, basically, now, I guess.
So how old would you have been then when your mom passed away?
Well, I was 28. She died on the week of Thanksgiving, and Bev was at her bedside when she died, I think, when she was there with her. So, So it's been 31 years now. Mm-hmm. So, and then she and I got engaged that Friday. Mom died, passed on, a Sunday?
Sunday.
And, Max set in for my parents at our wedding.
Aww.
And,
Yep. His mother had to... best recipe for sugar cream pie.
Really?
Melt in your mouth.
Oh. Did she share that recipe?
Yes. Yes, Beverly's got it.
Yeah. See, I didn't like pie, so.
So you wouldn't know the difference.
She made a great chocolate cake, too, though, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that made me happy.
Uh-huh.
You don't get this fat without chocolate.
No, I love all of this. These little stories. Any final thoughts?
No. Don't think so. It's just like having a second family, though.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How lucky you are.
That's right.
To not have one family, but two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As we close today, I can't help but think of the impact Max Newland has had on every person who knows him. He said in the podcast about his parents, "They didn't give me anything, they gave me everything." And in the same way, Max has given his family and his community everything that matters most: faith, love, service. He and his beloved wife, Beverly, built a marriage that lasted nearly 64 years. One that started with a kiss on a playground and carried through a lifetime of laughter, hard work, and yes, ma'am. Together, they raised 3 children, walked through the deep valley of losing their son Brad, and created a scholarship in his name that continues to bless young ministers today. Max's faith has given him peace and grief, because as he said when his wife passed, he knew where she was. His service to his church, his willingness to open up his home to others like the Hagee family, and his quiet love of watching things grow all point to a man who embodies what it means to serve the Lord. He hopes to be remembered for his service, and I believe he will be remembered for so much more. For his steady kindness, for the way he lives out his faith daily, and for the lives he has touched along the way. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Words of the Wise podcast. Soli Deo Gloria.
Every Christmas he brings cookies.
Oh, really?
That he bakes, yeah.
Yep.
Delicious.
Oh.
And I think he'd been here and delivered our Christmas cookies. And he was trying to get down the hill, and everybody else was trying to get up the hill.
It's a mess. Yeah.
Snowing, it got snowing, yeah, and icy.
Well, but you got the cookies.
Yeah, got the cookies.